Welcome to Hip Hop Movie Club, the show that harmonizes the rhythm of hip hop with the magic of movies. Today, we're discussing Set It Off, a heist crime action film from 1996. We're three old heads who put their old heads together to vibe on these films for you. I'm Dino Wright, podcaster, filmmaker, longtime hip hop fan, and the ladies will kick it, the rhyme that is wicked.
I'm JB, 80s and 90s nostalgia junkie, longtime hip hop fan, and well, I'll be darned, shiver me timbers, yo, head for the hills. I picked a weeping willow and a daffodil.
Hey.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Yes, classic. I'm Boogie, a DJ, longtime hip-hop fan, and sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick.
Nice. Ooh. In this episode, we'll answer the question, is Set It Off a groundbreaking film? And we'll give you five key takeaways to make you a smarter hip-hop movie fan.
Set It Off is a 1996 crime drama featuring a star-studded cast of black females who are pushed to the brink with the oppressive system. Being dead broke but also emboldened is the formula that leads the ladies to rob banks. Once they taste success, all bets are off in this roller coaster thriller.
And here are five takeaways you need to know about Set It Off. This is Queen Latifah's first lead role and one of the best performances of a rapper turned actor. Number two, this film is an ode to black women friendship and sisterhood, with strong performance from the four leads to match. Number three, we see an early instance of an LGBTQ relationship in a major motion picture, and it's handled well without making it a clumsy plot point. Number four, the soundtrack is hip-hop heavy and important to the heist sequences. And number five, some of the themes like police brutality, racism, sexism, systemic oppression, are sadly still relevant, which gives the film a poignant quality.
Right. Thanks for that intro. Let's kick it right off with the first takeaway that you had mentioned, Dinah Wright. This is Queen Latifah's first lead role and one of the best performances of a rapper turned actor. Boogie, I want to kick us off with one of your favorite females of all time, Queen Latifah, in her role here.
Yeah, so like I've talked about this in some of our live events. We mentioned our Mount Rushmore of rappers turned actors, but this is arguably my favorite role from the Queen, and I think that it's because of the range that she gives us. We see all the emotions from her, from being a loving and loyal friend to the crew, to her being in a loving sexualized relationship with her girlfriend, to being hardened and ruthless when it comes down to robbing the banks and getting her point across. I mean, you literally get the full range. And for this to be her first lead role, I think it carries so much weight. And even though you know the type of person she is, you see the circumstances that kind of would cause her to be the way she is, you almost want to root for her in a certain sense. And you hope that, you know, something turns around and gets better for her. But I think she really delivers, and she hammers it home in this one.
Definitely. She plays the role of Cleo, and she's like that street smart, street wise, almost leader of the crew. And yeah, you see the wide range. You covered it. I don't think I can even add much more. You nailed it there, Boogie. Donna Wright, you have anything else to add about Queen Latifah?
I will say that I've asked people younger than me that if they knew that Queen Latifah was a rapper, and they don't. It's kind of funny. And this is the beginning of it. Like, this demonstrates her range, like you said, Boogie. And from this point, you know, you can see the progression that, you know, she gets bigger roles. You know, she's the lead in more films, and she makes this transition from being, you know, an actor more so than a rapper sometimes. So here's where it begins.
Right. And I think another point, too, which makes this role such a dynamic role for her, is that the character is nothing like her in real life. Like, she's one of, like, I mean, granted, you don't play around with her, you don't mess with her, you don't do her wrong. But on a normal, you know, if you bumped into her, she's the nicest person. Like, extremely nice, extremely pleasant, sweet person. But she plays such a hardened, you know, criminal in this movie. It's just like, wow. And I think that's probably what gravitated me towards her role in this, because I could see her in other roles after this, and you could see her personality in the role, you know. In this one, you really don't see too much of it in the role. It's like she completely flipped the switch on. It's like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That comment about people knowing her only as an actor, that makes me feel kind of old, because I remember when she burst on the scene with All Hail the Queen.
We are old.
And here we are old. Oh, yeah. So I mean, feel what you are. You are. It's like in sports. You are what your record says you are, right? And say whatever that is, that's what you are, right? So UNITY, like, she was this like sensational rapper, part of the Native Tongues Collective, which is, you know, one of our favorites, if not our favorite, and like so influential there. But like, even beyond, you know, she crushes it as an actress, and like her vocal talents, and like, again, she's like up there in that top tier of mm-hmm. entertainers overall. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost at EGOT level. Like, I think she's missing one, right? Or something like that. But, like, wouldn't shock
me. She's on that level.
She's on that level. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely has the ability to get up, to get all of them. It's just the right roles gotta make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah, she can do it. Yeah. I would not bet against her at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So the second key takeaway is, the film is also an ode to Black women friendship and sisterhood, with strong performances from the four leads to match. So, Boogie, you want to take us into the four leads and how, you know, it ties together those themes?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So, you know, typically, you know, we talk about crime dramas or any type of movie in that realm, you usually see a bond between male characters. This movie takes on a different twist in that the leads are all women. And you see the bond between them. You see how they look out for one another. You know, we have Queen Latifah, you know, Vivica A. Fox, Jada Pinkett Smith, but she was just Jada Pinkett at the time, and Kimberly Elise. I mean, they all deliver, and they all add dynamic qualities to their group. You see the outspokenness and the hardness, and the deep loyalty of Queen Latifah. Vivica Fox is a force to reckon with as well. And I mean, when it comes to toughness, I mean, her character stands toe to toe with Cleo's character from Queen Latifah. Jada Pinkett Smith, who is more of a focal point of the group, because she's the one that probably has the most gain and most to lose in this movie. You know, you get to see her character struggling. You know, she's trying to figure out, you know, which way is up, what to do and how to handle the situation, because she becomes extremely wrapped up in the whole situation involving the bank robbery heist. And, you know, Kimberly Elise, she gives an innocence, a sweetness to the movie, to the group. You know, she's unfortunately dealing with the system. You know, her son is, you know, has been taken from her, and she's trying to do whatever she can to regain the custody of her son. And, you know, with the four of them, you know, they don't really know which way to turn and what to look at, you know, which way to go. So they all, you know, decide to come with the bank heist scheme, and then going down that route. But the idea was doomed from the start. You know, you knew there's no good that could come out of that. I mean, and then, you know, not to talk about too much about what happens in the end, but, you know, there are some deaths that occur throughout the movie. And some of the most memorable that I've come across, not giving away too many details. And although the women are committing crime by robbing banks, you do still want to root for them, because you kind of see the circumstances that have put them in the place to do what they're doing. And unfortunately, all of the deaths could have been avoided, you know, which, you know, adds a little bit of sadness to it as well. But I mean, I do see that this was a well written and well performed movie by their leads.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off of that. I think F. Gary Gray directed, and he did a great job with the character development. You could see the bond between the four women, which was one of our points here.
Yes.
Frankie was Vivica A. Fox. That was her nickname, Francesca Frankie. You know, it's like she was working at the bank, and she got fired because she knew the one robber in the initial scene, Darnell. And so, like, you know, they all bonded because of the different forms of oppression. So bonded, and Stoney was the character played by Jada Pinkett. You know, her, she was the caretaker for her brother Stevie, who has mistaken identity. We'll talk about that oppression type things, but like all these things culminated in them galvanizing together to fight the system. And Tishon, which was Kimberly Lease, you know, you mentioned she had her child taken away. And then, you know, Cleo, you know, obviously was in the midst of all this as well, like seeing the oppression and kind of fighting for them. Masterful casting and character development. Like I said, I saw F. Gary Gray in an interview. I saw some, a special interview that he had. Interestingly enough, Kimberly Elise was the newcomer to Hollywood. These other stars were more established. Yes. And Kimberly said that her character was the most like her, her real life persona was very similar to who, to her character of Tishon. She said she was young and broke in real life. And that's kind of like the role that she portrayed. So it, it was interesting there. Dinah Wright, anything to add as well there?
I mean, it's, it, it is, you know, a twist on the heist film. We reviewed Paid in Full. It's another kind of heist type film, or at least crime film. And, you know, it's all male leads. But right. This was fun to watch, you know, a different spin on it. And, you know, it, it's good to see this kind of stuff. This, this stuff needs to be on film. And you really do root for them, even though, you know, they're committing crimes and getting away with it for the most part.
Yeah. And another interview that I saw, or a clip from the interview with F. Gary Gray, Jada Pinkett actually wanted to be the role of Cleo, which was given to Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah, it knocked it out of the park, as we mentioned. And Vivica A. Fox was concerned that she wouldn't come off as hood enough for the viewers because she had never played a role that hardened. But it worked out, and she was so glad that she had done the film. Ironically, she was filming Independence Day at the same time, and it was like a lunch break when she was called over, and just a quick lines, couple quick lines to audition, and she knocked it out of the park as well. So it all came together like it was fate. This cast worked so well together.
Wow. From filming Independence Day to
yeah,
you know, to Robin Banks.
Exactly. Save the world and
yeah, action star.
Wow. Yeah.
And ironically, with Will Smith as the co-star of Independence Day, you know, you get Jada Pinkett in this one. Yeah, so it's all
it's a small time. World.
Small world, exactly. But yeah, the casting, amazing. You root for them. So another takeaway that we mentioned is that we see an early instance of an LGBTQ relationship in a major motion picture. So you remember, this was 96. It's handled well without making it a clumsy plot point. Boogie, you want to speak of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think like you said, this is the first time that it's one of the first times it's been on film, and it definitely didn't come across as, you know, something that was awkward or, you know, even, you know, side-eyed about it. She actually, the girlfriend was around like when they were talking a lot of times, and it wasn't like she was awkwardly placed in there. It just kind of flowed. It wasn't the scenes with her and Cleo didn't seem like outlandish or over the top. Some of them were kind of funny when she was, you know, playing with the money and everything. But I don't want to get too much into that. But I think, I think it was well done. And you see other movies where they try to touch on the topic and it just doesn't work, but it definitely works here. And I think that Queen Latifah played her role so well that, I mean, rumors of and questions about her actual sexuality started to come into question. I mean, that's how well that dynamic works in the film, that it kind of spilled over into her actual life where people were like, well, is she not? You know, not that it mattered, but I think the film was so well done that people couldn't differentiate the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Dinah, anything else to add about the LGBTQ aspect?
Yeah. This is almost how many, 30 years ago? And we weren't used to seeing this kind of thing. And the thing I like about it is that they don't really like try to make a big statement about it. They just have it exist in part in that universe. And so it doesn't draw any undue attention to it. That's just how they live.
Yeah.
And you know, that I think is why it's done well. It's not part of the, it's not really part of the story. It's part of the character development. And, you know, we need, especially at that time, we needed those sorts of portrayals of the LGBT community, because they were, they've been there all along. It's not like they just showed up then.
Right.
And to show them in a normal kind of relationship without having to like put a spotlight on it and make a big fuss about it was really nice.
Right. And if the listeners here have heard a lot of our episodes, we've mentioned the term homophobia quite a bit about other films in the same era, whether it be late 80s, early 90s. So this is the same time frame. And yet, as you mentioned, it's almost like an organically happening as an LGBTQ relationship without making a big fuss about it. So it was like groundbreaking in that sense.
Yeah.
Where same-sex couples were much more taboo, not really spoken about, or to the total opposite, where a great deal of homophobia was out there. Still exists today, but people are much more open-minded. Yeah.
You had to go to an art house film to see that kind of stuff in That's cinema, right. And for this to be a major motion picture, that was good. That was progress.
So groundbreaking in many, and the film was groundbreaking in a few aspects, having the all-female cast, doing the heist, and this relationship, well done. Exactly. Takeaway number four was the soundtrack was hip-hop heavy and important to the heist sequences. Who wants to kick us off on that?
I can go.
Go ahead.
In the movie, Cleo can't get started until she got some pump-up music, and I had to write this down. So the first time it was "I Ain't No Joke" by Eric B. and Rakim.
Love that
great song, of course, of course. And then the second one was "Pistol Grip Pump" by Volume 10. That's good. And then the third time, and each time she carjacks a car, and then you know goes through the CDs and throws them out the window. And then, you know, puts on another music. And the third one is from Your Blind Side by X-Men, H Squared and Chocolate. It's just great. Like, I mean, I do need pump up music too when I'm doing important things. You know, I'm not robbing banks, but it's helpful to have a good soundtrack. And like they said I'm going to get you, sucker. Did I get you, sucker?
Theme music.
Every hero needs a theme. Every hero needs his theme music.
Absolutely. That was some much needed comic relief. Yeah, exactly. She would call. Yes. She would throw them out and call it BS. Like, this is BS. This is BS. This is BS. It's like, what are you doing? It's almost like delaying the getaway car because she's like throwing the music out the window. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, definitely good stuff.
Yeah, definitely the funniest hang-up of the movie. I still laugh every time I see that those scenes. It's just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
you gotta have priorities. You gotta have good music, of course.
It's funny though, because like I've never stolen a car or robbed a bank, but I know sometimes when I get in my car and when I'm ready to go somewhere, I'll put a song or one of my mixes on or something. And if it starts in the middle of the song, I take it right back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it's like I gotta ride out to that beat. Or, you know, as soon as I park, if I'm coming down the block, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to get into the part I like. And then I come down, I'm like, yeah. So I understand the importance of the music.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you get in the car and like, I don't like this station. I change station. My song is on. Now I can go.
Yeah. She's tossing.
I was doing that today on my commute. I was like, I just recently got like Spotify premium. I have my playlist, and I'm like, I want to hear this, and like now I can go exactly. Mm-hmm. So I get it, but it was funny in that scenario there with the carjacking. But the soundtrack as a whole has a lot of well-known artists, obviously Queen Latifah has a song on there. Brandy, Bone Thugs and Harmony, MC Light, En Vogue, Busta Rhymes, Seal. Yeah. So it's a solid soundtrack.
Yep.
Any other highlights for the soundtrack, Boogie? You're a resident expert on.
I mean, aside from the hip hop songs, Don't Let Go by En Vogue was a powerful, powerful song.
Yeah.
You know, so like anytime I hear that song, you know, it takes me back to this movie. But yeah, it was just a powerful song. And it's about love, you know, and you know, even despite it being a crime movie, at the root of it is love. It's four friends who love one another and will support one another and will do anything for one another. Literally. Do anything for one another. You know,
rob multiple banks.
Yeah.
You know,
the Don't Let Go was during the intimate scene between Blair Underwood and Jada Pinkett's character, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and Blair Underwood, by the way, casting, I mean, he was, F. Gary Gray said, this is the guy that I wanted to play this role, like, kind of an upper crust type young man who's, you know, on his way, professional, and, like, that's the guy he wanted, and that's the guy he got, and it was perfect. Perfect casting there as well.
Yeah, he perfectly cast, yeah.
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 And we did an event with Crush Groove where we screened it at in a theater, and Blair Underwood, you know, in his earlier days, I mean, he's had a storied career too.
Yeah, young Blair Underwood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, excellent. So the soundtrack's solid. The final takeaway, number five, was that some of the themes in the movie, such as police brutality, racism, sexism, systemic oppression, are sadly still relevant, which gives the film a poignant quality. Donna Wright, you want to kick us off on that one, on topic?
Yeah. In our early days of this podcast, we used to ask ourselves, could we make this movie again or today? This movie, like especially the older ones. And this one was definitely like something you could do today because it's the same kind of thing. Like, people are guilty by association, you know, on racial lines, and there is a police murder of a unarmed black man that literally sets it off in this film. So that exists. There's other examples of things like this, of the isms in the movie, and yes, that it, you know. This was made almost 30 years ago, and we're still talking about these things. These things are still happening in these communities.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Would you want to expand on that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we see, like you said, there was a, you know, unarmed black male shot. You know, we thought he had a gun. You know, the isms are also, like as Donna Wright said, the isms are all apparent throughout the film. There's all types of misogyny in the treatment of the four women by their manager, boss. It's just, you know, it's a bad situation. I mentioned earlier with TT and her son being in the system, you know, that's, you know, because of circumstances and, you know, the struggle she has to go through to get him out. They're all desperate for money for various reasons. You know, exploited at work, which I kind of touched, but I mentioned a little earlier. So it's a big perfect storm of a mess that just results in, you know, these four feeling like they have no way out, no way to turn to. And, you know, like it definitely can be made today easily. You can literally shoot the movie frame for frame.
Yeah.
Today, and it would still work.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
We could get the same actresses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it's the systemic oppression that galvanized the four women because they're all struggling, facing all their challenges that were not fair. for many reasons. I mean, the young black man, Stevie, getting shot, a case of, and I'm air quotes, you know, mistaken identity, you know, because he had the same head shaving, but he had no gun. He had actually a bottle of champagne that was gifted to him, but they reacted, you know, by shooting. Frankie was unfairly fired because of her association. She knew the guy's name. She had recently been promoted. She was a great associate. She got fired from this great job at the bank. She ends up having to sleep with the guy to get some money advance, you know, like he was taking advantage of her, the Child Protective Services. Luther was taking out more taxes than, you know, not paying what was promised. Like, the oppression was palpable. Like, you could be like, you could cut it with a knife. And
yeah,
that literally led them to this life of crime, a bank heist. And once they taste that success, it's like you kind of get greedy and like, oh, well, I need more money for this. And this, it worked. They had that taste of success, and they're like, okay, let's bigger and better. And then, you know, there's some conflicts, like how far do they go with it, right? And obviously there's repercussions. If I go back 1 minute to the soundtrack, we mentioned Settle Off. We discussed this off air. Like, I almost wish that the song Settle Off by Big Daddy Kane was in it, because that's a great song as well. Kind of like when Paid in Full, like Paid in Full wasn't on that soundtrack. It's always any number of reasons, you know, if they can't get the rights.
Yeah.
Is one of the missing
rights, or it's too obvious.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. It's like if somebody doesn't know about this film and they're like, oh, go to the soundtrack, like, we're Set It Off.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Other notes about the film? I have a few, but if anybody wants to talk about any other, you know, comments about the film itself. All right, I'll kick it off. So I love the 70s throwback party for Stevie's graduation. That was dope. All the big afros, the fashion. That was cool. I like that. Other actors. So Dr. Dre has a small role as Black Sam. You know, he's I don't know if he's a gun runner or works the gun range, but, you know, he obviously, you know, helps with the weapons and stuff. As a young Dr. Dre. And John C. McGinley as Strode, the police detective, the head like police detective guy, he gives a solid performance. I always liked him, and whatever he's in, he always cracked me up on the TV show Scrubs. So yeah, it was good to see him. He was actually empathetic about what happened, but obviously, you know, can't apologize. So
yeah.
There's some intense scenes with him as well, as, you know, he's on the chase, and then things kind of escalate as well. So yeah, and there's a couple of those things like that. The one scene with the girls talking around the table with like the fake Italian accents, I thought that was like a little bit cheesy, like the Godfather scene, because they're playing the Godfather music. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, if they did it again,
they could have been edited out.
Yeah. No, that was kind of funny.
Had our blood pump. Kept the blood pump. All right, let's do something to calm everybody down for a few seconds.
Yeah.
Start to match up again.
Yeah.
That's funny. Goofy to laugh at.
Mm-hmm. And there was a conflict. You know, it's not all like, hey, these girls like got along all well. There was a conflict where Cleo at one point put the gun to Stoney's head because they were arguing. To me, that was like reminiscent of Juice a little bit, like when Bishop, you know, threatening.
I had the same reaction.
The friends. I was like, whoa, okay. I see that now, you know. So, yeah. And I see that T.T.'s character, Tashawn, she became emboldened throughout the film. Like, you could see her progression where she was really shy. She left the one heist because, like, she was not into it. But she grew with her. She became bolder. She held the one customer at bay during the one heist. And she was the one that ended up, you know, shooting Luther at the hotel after he'd stole the money. So, like, she was all in. She was pushed to that brink, and she's like, hey, listen, I can't half-ass it. I gotta do it.
Yeah, she's close to getting her son back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Shout out to, you know, Anna Marie Horsford, who played the worker.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I was like, wow, look at that. Yeah. Played our mother on Friday.
Yeah, and it's funny. So Friday, F. Gary Gray, for folks you may remember, he directed Friday, and this was after that. And it's like, what a contrast, you know, comedy. He had always dreamed of doing like an action film, and he got his chance. He got star-studded cast, and yeah, did a great job. The one thing too is like the budget wasn't as large as you would think for an action film they were talking about on this interview. So the scene where Queen Latifah, Cleo, drives the truck through the glass windows of the bank, like right through, they had to do that like in one take, and it had to work. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have a big budget to recreate that, and it worked. They were fortunate.
Yeah. That was intense.
Yeah.
It work.
That was intense.
That was really intense.
The first time I saw that scene, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, those were the other kind of notes that I had. Yeah. Well done. Any other comments or notes?
There's a lot of good writing about this. We'll put this in the show notes. But people have talked about the LGBTQ issues and in general queer representation in film, and especially Black queer representation. So I'll throw that in there. Okay. Recommended reading.
Yeah. F. Gary Gray has a really nice career.
It's done well.
He directed Set It Off, The Italian Job, Friday. I think Men in Black, Straight Outta Compton. Yeah, Be Cool. Really incredible career. Super talented.
Yeah.
Some music videos as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think he did good. It was a good day. Yeah, Ice Cube. He did Waterfalls, TLC, Miss Jackson by Outkast. Like some of these iconic videos, he's behind those also. Yeah. So, yeah. The man is talented. For sure. All right, fellas, you want to go around and give our ratings here? Whether for the film Set It Off, Boogie, would you say bring that funky flick back or leave it in the vault?
Bring that funky flick back.
Okay. Dino Wright?
I'll also bring this funky flick back.
And that makes three. I will bring this funky flick back. Very well crafted.
Definitely groundbreaking.
Yes.
Yep.
Go see it if you
have. Not for the faint of heart, but it's still a great movie nonetheless.
Bring it. Come on. Hip Hop Movie Club is produced by your HHMCs, JB, Boogie, and Dino Wright. Theme music by Boogie. If you're the type to leave a rating or review, please do. That would be dope. And whether you're listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. It gives us the power up for real. Thanks for tuning in.
Remember, don't hate, create.
Create.
Yeah. Make some art
from nothing.
Bring it. Come on.